Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We're continuing our Eyes to the Skies broadcast this week as we've been discussing UFOs, different aspects of alien connections, UFO sightings, and alien abductions. We'll wrap up tomorrow with Mary Rodwell from Australia, who has spent the last 20 years trying to help people that have encountered aliens, abductions, and UFO scenarios. But to help broaden our horizons and perspectives, today we'll be talking to a guest who's written a book called UFOs Over Romania. And we'll be talking about many different aspects of this phenomena, including some cryptids and other creatures, things of that nature. The book is out and available on September 21st, 2016, became available. We'll have a link to that book on our site. So all you have to do is go to darknessradio.com and click on the Killer Deals link. It'll take you right to our Amazon homepage, and you'll see the way to order this book and all of the others that we're speaking of. UFOs Over Romania is a very unique publication in every sense of the word. It's written by one of the country's leading UFO researchers and academics. And our guest this evening, and I'm hoping I can get his name properly, is Dan Farkas. Did I say that right, Doctor?
Farkas.
Okay. I'm doing my best here. I appreciate you joining us. And what a fascinating background you have with PhDs in mathematics and computers. Since 1968, you've been a project manager for several countrywide information systems, mainly in health and science management. And then you were elected in 1993 as a full member of the Academy of Medical Sciences of Romania. And since 2011, he's been the president of the Association for the Study of Unidentified Aerospace Phenomena in Romania. He has published in Romania over 25 books on IT, philosophy of science, extraterrestrials, UFOs, yes, and more. He's got over 1,200 articles that have been published, numerous radio and TV debates. He's here with us this evening, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I am glad to be with us, with you.
Let me get a little bit of your background. What, with your background in mathematics and IT, where did the interest in UFOs and aliens come in?
First of all, I was always interested in extraterrestrials. I don't know why. So it was, as I remember, all time. But with my background in mathematics, I don't know how is it in other countries, but in the Romanian universities, only in a mathematical university, you have also astronomy. You have a courses of astronomy, and if you want to be astronomer, you should go to the mathematics faculty. So I was prepared also to understand very well what is the universe, and how can measure distances, time, and so. So I have not only some knowledge about, but I have the understanding. I feel the distances, and it's very, very useful, because many stupid approaches, for example, linked with the ET hypothesis, are made because the people don't understand how huge are the distances, how huge are the time distances, if you want, also between events and so. So it helped me that background with mathematics. Also, I have a PhD in mathematics and computers. It was also helpful because I understood, among others, what huge difference is between human mind and computers. And understanding how human mind works is also a very useful tool if you want to go in the UFO business. As the most majority of the people with my background, I was uninterested in UFOs. I thought it is impossible, so don't be involved. But after a while, I discovered some books. It was in a period we had very few books in Romania about UFOs, but I discovered some English books. Not in the book shop.
Bookstore. Your audio is cutting out a little bit. So you found some books on ufology, and that was the beginning of the genesis moment for you and your interest in this.
Yes, and I understood how serious is the UFO business.
Have you personally ever seen what you believe to be an unidentified flying craft or an alien?
Yes and no, because I have some memories about some encounters, but they can be interpreted in different way. It was in my first childhood, so maybe 4 or 5 years, and I remember some figures around me. That's all. And afterwards, maybe I saw some lights in the sky, but that's all.
Has your family ever had or shared experiences that they may also have seen these things?
No.
Okay.
my wife had some paranormal experiences, but not directly linked with UFOs.
I was
like out of body, for example.
Oh, out of body, an astral projection.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, certainly you think of America, Russia, Canada. We've heard so many stories of UFOs coming from those parts of the world, even England, Alaska, France. Romania, I guess it just never really struck me that there would be that much activity. But Romania has a rich history of case sightings. What is the oldest recorded sighting that you were able to find in Romanian history?
So we have here, unfortunately, they are now dead, some very, very good ufologists, and they made a list. And the first sighting in that list is from 1517, so 16th century, and it is in a chronicle. They noted that a great sign was seen in the sky, glowing in the northern sky, and looked like a human face, something like this, and it remained noted in a chronicle, which was printed after a while. So this was the first. Nobody knows what it was. Second.
And what year was that?
I don't know what could be. So it's unidentified.
Right.
For me, UFO means unidentified, means not extraterrestrial vehicle or so.
Okay.
So it's something unidentified. It's much more interesting the second. It is in also in 1595. Prince of Wallachia, Michael the Brave, he was the first to unify all the three principalities of what is now Romania, so Transylvania, Moldavia, and Wallachia. But he had some fights with Turks, and Turks occupied the capital of Wallachia, Târgoviște, and he besieged that city and recovered eventually. But during the siege, above the military camp, it's written that a great comet appeared for 1 hour or a little more. And there are several different mentions of that comet. But it was not at all comet, because no astronomical record mentions any comet in this year. Hmm. And no comet could be observed, only in one place and only one day. So it was definitely not a comet. What it was is unidentified.
How does research for UFO phenomena differ today than when it began?
We had first of all to dig in ancient writings for this kind of cases. After, it was difficult to understand for the population that UFOs is something worth to be reported. So we have a different situation in Romania than in some other places. For example, we have a lot of country people, and they accept as something normal that sometimes some lights are wandering in the sky or in daylight. And if we ask them what they think about, they told, what could be? Heavenly signs or divine signs, that's all. And no problem. So this is one thing. Another thing is, it's about me personally. I am not exactly a field investigator.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I met a number of cases, and I investigated them, and I discovered something very strange, that I cannot make a border between classical UFO phenomenon and a lot of paranormal phenomena. So, and we discovered, particularly in Romania, something, for example, Jacques Vallée told wrote in the 60s, last century, that you cannot distinguish between UFOs and folkloric figures, or even religious figures. So we have, I investigated some cases when the folklore was mixed with a disc-shaped UFO, folkloric figures, yes. For example, it was in Maramureș, a case with some fairy. I will tell you.
Please, yes.
More in detail. Or I discovered also that some people have a more or less classical abduction, and immediately after meet God or some saints with big bird and so. And not only one case, but many cases. So it was a surprise for me, and this is different from what we imagined, let's say, 30 or 40 years ago about UFOs.
Interesting. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back and have a deeper discussion on this. Let's get back to talking about UFOs over Romania and some of the other strange instances. And I know you just briefly touched on the idea of fairies, and we're going to get into some of the creatures and humanoid sightings. But talk to me about this. Are there case records in Romania that also involve the military confronting UFOs, Dan?
Yes, and I had the opportunity to speak with many pilots. And if I say pilots, I mean generally colonels or generals. And but they are retired ones. Why they retired? Because no one military pilot will accept that he met a UFO.
Okay.
Only when they are retired, and not all of them are disposed to speak about. I want not to speak too much about, but for example, I met a 87 years now old pilot who was on MiG fighters for many years, and he had 4 UFO encounters. And in one of those encounters, he was ordered to fire toward the a huge football field, like a football field. So huge was that UFO, and it was 40,000 feet above the ground.
Wow.
And more exactly 12.5 kilometers. they met this UFO. Of course, the order was to fire toward, to oblige the UFO to land. Of course, it was an impossible task, because when they were 2 MiG fighters, and when his colleague wanted to fire, the UFO disappeared. And they were far away from each other, mm-hmm. and appeared behind the pilot I talked with. And he had now the order to fire toward the UFO, but it was impossible to turn, because the UFO also changed the position. And it was a very, very interesting and longer story. You have it in my book. Eventually, he was following the UFO, and he was above Belgrade in Yugoslavia, mm-hmm. and told, yes, it's another country. I have to turn back in Romania. and he had also no fuel. And that was the finish. But there are... Well, I have another case.
Let me mention one thing, Dan, if you don't mind.
Yes.
For our listeners, this is the rare instance that when a guest says that there's more information in the book... Our guest is doing a fantastic job today. His English, as he has admitted up front, is not the best. So he is. We went over some approved questions so that he would be as well versed in this as he can. So in these rare instances, when we're talking to somebody from a foreign country whose English is maybe their second or third language, it's totally appropriate. So don't get all bummed on me and telling me, oh, it's in the book stuff. This is a totally different scenario. Dan is doing a fantastic job sharing some of these insights, but he's admitting that not trying to sell the book, but that the stories are much more approachable in the book.
My English is not so good to explain in a short time everything which is absolutely fantastic about these encounters.
Yeah, you are doing fantastic. Yeah, don't worry, Dan, you're doing great.
Yes, I have also another encounter mm-hmm. in 89 with a huge V-shaped object, and it was above a military camp, Air Force base, with tens of pilots and other personnel, and I had a talk with five witnesses. And the stories are slightly different, but tremendously so it was something absolutely huge, and everybody was impressed. I have another case with three helicopters which met 20 meter diameter red globe near they had a night exercise, and I have two witnesses. One was the commander pilot of the formation, and the other was on the shift manager on the airport. So and seeing on the radar a huge object near the helicopters. And the exercise was stopped. And we have many other cases, military cases. So I give only some examples.
All right, we need to take another break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about UFOs over Romania. And when we return... We are familiar with how our government in the United States and Canada seem to be covering up UFO activity. What is it like, and how does the Romanian government deal with disclosure or understanding UFO phenomena? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about strange cryptid sightings and creature sightings as well in Romania when we return to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back, and today we're discussing UFOs over Romania. My guest, Dan Farkas, and I'm trying to get the name right here, and I'm sure I'm rolling the R's and the C's and everything incorrectly, but it is a pleasure to speak with you tonight, sir. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Let's
glad to be with you.
Let's get back into this. Like I said going into the break, the U.S. government is in complete denial that UFOs exist, as is Canada and most of the other major governments. How does Romania, how does the Romanian government deal with extraterrestrial subjects?
As I know, all governments recognize they were interested in UFOs. And also, they recognize that they denied that for the public. So that this is what we have in the papers disclosed till now in England, in states, in Canada, and so. That so it's no problem. They recognize that there is something which is unidentified. Of course, they deny it, and it's normal to deny it, that they met extraterrestrial vehicles. Because this is true. But UFO means unidentified flying object. Not, we don't know if it is extraterrestrial. Maybe we suppose it could be. So that's the difference. And nobody knows if they are really extraterrestrial, and the government say yes, we have no information about extraterrestrial vehicles in our region. So UFOs is something, and ET is something else. Of course, if you have a lot of cases and reports, you discover that it's not exactly true, because we have also some humanoids, some abductions, and some other stories, but the government is really not interested. It is interested only in encounters of pilots or in radar signs, and which are unidentified, and so on. So this is the difference, if I was understandable.
All right, and why do you think the government is keeping it secret about UFOs? All of these governments, why at this point in our history?
For two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, because always they suspected that it is an alien, not extraterrestrial, but it's a weapon of another country, which is, for example, in the Cold War, they suspected it was something of the Russians. For example, in Romania, I discovered the Air Force was also suspecting that maybe it is Russian in Romania, because we were friends with the Russians, but mm-hmm. not too good friends in the Cold War.
Right.
And for example, I told about one pilot who was ordered to fire toward the UFO, and he was forced to sign an undertaking that he will not disclose anything about. It was maybe 50 years ago, so he told, yes, it's now I can speak about. But I have other cases when they were told, yes, gentlemen, you have not seen anything, understand? I had a phone telephone with a general, Air Force general, and he told me, yes, I was there, but I don't want to speak about, please, we finish the discussion. So there are people which even now want not to discuss about what they saw. And this secrecy was because of military reasons. Some other reason, but it was not in Romania, it was maybe in United States, to have not to not panic the population, that something is going over our heads and the Air Force cannot do anything against. So that was the second reason, I think.
All right, that's fair enough. All right, we've talked about the phenomena of unidentified craft, whether it's extraterrestrial or terrestrial, and we just don't know about it. But if you would, let's address humanoid encounters in Romania, like yes, the alien yes. beings or interdimensionals. Are there stories that coincide with UFOs that deal with humanoid creatures?
So nothing coincides perfectly, even in between the cases in United States, to have a limited region. We have also several cases with one or more witnesses. Generally, they are people with 3-4 feet high, and maybe ugly. Maybe they, the witnesses were scared. For example, I have a case in Cercești. This is in South Moldavia, in 1996, July. And two people were witnesses, a policeman and a night guard. And they departed from each other for a moment. And in this moment, something appeared. The policeman was coming back immediately, suspecting that is a control from the county capital. And the night guard was nowhere. And he cried, "Guard." And the guard was hiding himself under a ditch, in a ditch, because he was so afraid. And he told afterwards, he saw three small people. The policeman saw only one. The description was quite the same, like some children of 8 years. That was one of the approaches. But what was more interesting, no one saw them descending from the, it was a disc in the middle of the road, mm-hmm. and around the people. So the people, nobody saw them descending or going back to the this disc, and no hatch, no porthole, nothing was on the disc. The disc was like a normal car, as dimensions, but was lighted and so. And so I told them, maybe you had a time lapse, a missing time. They told, unfortunately, no one had a watch with them to tell if it was more than 2 minutes they appreciate it. That is one case. But we have for 1939 a case. It's very interesting. It is a PhD, a geologist, PhD, author of 15 books, and he told me that when he was 9 years, he and other 4 children had an encounter with an egg-shaped object very close to them, mm-hmm. on a field near the village when they lived 50 kilometers from Bucharest. And two people, small people, was coming from this egg-shaped object, and they put it an invisible wall between them and the children. And they kicked the wall, the invisible wall, and it was impossible to go through. This is another case. And we have also some other cases, humanoid encounter without a UFO, for example, or another case in 79 with 2 small UFOs with 2 people and many children witnessing that in a mountain region. Another case when 20 military were terrorized 2 days by a huge humanoid in the Fagerash Mountains, and so on. So
really, also, the military was being terrorized by this thing.
They were not exactly military. They were conscripts, unarmed, bringed for some constructions, and staying in the barrack in the mountains. So it was not, and they fled. They refused to stay there until someone with an armed officer was coming back with them. So they are, and I have also some other stories. Also, they are in the book.
Right, and they're much more detailed and easier for him to convey as being part of the book. But those are some fascinating starts on
yes,
these.
So in Romania we have also some interesting cases, as everywhere.
Right.
Romania is not a big country. It's like a bigger state in the United States. So it's okay to have so many cases.
Tell us a little bit about alien abduction in Romania. That seems to be prevalent here in the United States quite a bit. Do you get many reports of cases of actual abduction there in Romania?
Not many, but several. And also, I examined some of the cases. So I have at least 2 or 3 cases when I had a detailed talk with the witnesses. But I know about several other abductions. What is interesting, in 2 of them, I have also sexual or genetic experiments component,
mm-hmm.
or maybe in 3 of them, I have in at least 2 of them people, 2 or 3 people which were abducted or had bedroom encounters, and there's always female people, and also not only female, I have a male also. Also the children were involved in such cases. But one of them is fascinating because is a relative of mine living now in California. But when he was in Romania, he was attempting to go at the art university, and he failed to be admitted. He wanted to stay 1 year to learn much more, to be more better prepared. Mm-hmm. And he stayed in the city of Constanza. He's at the seaside, in a small, very cheap room, only for him. And one night in December, it was a bit of snow, he goes in, it was a ground level room. He was going in the yard to solve a small problem, and a light above him, it was a beam, and he was raised from the ground, and he told me, yes, and for the first time I have seen what it is in the neighboring yards. And because the fences were very high, mm-hmm. and it was for the first time, after he regained the consciousness, staying in the snow, but away from the last footstep, and he didn't remember what it was. After a while, he regained his memory, and he told me he was in a room. It was kind of test from some voices. He had not met any people, and they advised him to go to a special faculty of fine arts, not to the picture, not to the painting. That was all. And after, he was curious, and he examined if it was real, and he discovered that in the neighboring places, what he saw was exactly what it was really. He had no courage to tell to anybody, but his mother, after a while, and his mother told, yes, it's not the first time for you.
Hmm.
When you was a small baby in 46, in a country region, you stayed in a cradle, fixed on a tree branch, and I was away, and it was a light and some figures, and you disappeared and reappeared after several days.
Wow.
And
wow, what a revelation. Holy cow.
Yes, and his mother told him, pay attention, because they are the devils. And
let's dig deeper into that. That fascinates me, because what that sounds like is almost some of the folkloric stories of fairies and different characters.
I told you.
Right. All right, Dan. Let's talk about some of the folkloric attachments to UFOs. The story you just told had a very fairy-like feel to it.
Yes.
And, I wonder if that and the Strigoi and some of the others might actually have some kind of connection with these aliens.
Yes, I have also some other fascinating abduction cases. Also, this case I told you had some other encounters, even in San Diego, California, for example, later. But I want only one strange case to have. I have not directly interviewed the person, but it's a pregnancy with temporal anomaly. It's kind of a person disappearing from our world to have a complete 9-month pregnancy in another dimension and coming back very shortly after the moment she disappeared. So this is another case. I don't elaborate more, but we have a lot of cases which are in the folkloric realm. For example, this changeling or the stealing children. I have another case of stealing children, but not in this kind, not of this kind. In northern Romania, there is a character. I named her Maid of the Woods. I don't know if it's the best translation of the Romanian expression. The people, if you are going there, will tell you, yes, she is in the woods somewhere. Some people saw her, met her, and she is very high, more than 2 meters, maybe even 3 meters, beautiful blonde girl or lady, exactly how we imagine the fairies. She is always with some children around. She kills the children of the peasants if they want to intermix with them, and so on, and stealing children. And I have a witness from this region who told me, yes, when he was 6, he met this lady with the children. It was absolutely fascinating for him. It's much more complicated, but I don't want to tell more now. It is in the book. And what is interesting, that after 3 years, when he was 9, he had a classical UFO abduction. He was under a UFO, a disc, a huge disc, and he disappeared, but there were many witnesses around, including his mother. And I have the story told by his mother and by him. He told he was in another realm, seeing a lot of old people and children and so on, and having some discussions. And his mother, so she saw this girl of the woods coming down from the disc UFO. This fairy coming from the UFO and having an exchange of words with the people, and going back to the UFO. So I don't know if that this is true, but I have the record of the true of the two witnesses, and they were very serious and asking to believe them that was true. And it was not the only encounters that witness had with the maid of the woods, and also
that maid of the woods. She almost sounds like what we've come to know as the Nordiques, the tall, blonde, fair-skinned aliens. Yes.
So something is happening even now. This is not only in fairy tales for the children to make them sleep. So it's and if they are in the collective consciousness, that means the centuries after centuries, the people met something, some creatures in the woods. And in Europe, in Scandinavia, in Ireland, and I don't know where, they met this kind of very high and blonde fairy. So it's also, and I have also other stories like this.
Well, what is your...
They are connected with the crop circles.
Oh, really? Well, I know that there's been sightings of lights and small things that seem to be whipping around inside crop circles just prior to and right after their formation.
In Romania, we have not too many. I think that kind of crop circles and very simple ones... only several circles. We have two or three, no more. But we have a lot of circles in grass. And the people in the countryside say, yes, is the place where the fairies dance in circle. So everything is connected.
Sure. Certainly sounds like it. Well, in your opinion, Dan, in your opinion about the origin of UFOs and their occupants, are they extraterrestrial beings? Are they us coming from the future? Are they humans that have escaped from Earth? What do you really discuss when you cover that part in UFOs over Romania?
So I accepted extraterrestrial hypothesis, and now I think it is the best, but not that extraterrestrial hypothesis which is in the maybe in movies like Alien or Independence Day or or even E.T. E.T. is a bit better, but or Close Encounter of the Third Kind or so. Because, and I told you at the beginning, I imagine very well the universe with the time scales. We have in our universe, or small universe, 150 billion galaxies. And only in our galaxy, the Milky Way, we have around 200 billion stars and 11 billion planets like our Earth. This is okay, and everybody agrees, but Also, the universe has a time scale. These planets, some of them having biosphere like on our Earth, are much older than Earth is. Astronomers discovered a planet which is at least 1 billion years older than we are on here on Earth. So, if on that planet it was a civilization like ours, it was 1 billion years ago. 1 billion.
Right.
And if this is one, maybe there are some others in our galaxy, not in the rest of the universe, only in our galaxy. And so they appeared one in several million years, one after the other. So we have no other civilization like us in the galaxy. It's at least, the difference is at least some million years. And if I say a difference of million years, that means I cannot imagine what it is. So if what will became the human civilization after only 1 million years, not 1 billion, only 1 million, if we don't destroy them ourselves. We cannot imagine, but maybe they will discover how to go everywhere they want, how to manipulate time, how they live forever, and so on, to have a spiritual body, and so on. This I gave the name hyper civilization for this kind of civilization, which is more evolved with millions of or hundreds of millions of years more evolved than we are. So I accept around us there are hyper civilizations, not what we have in science fiction books,
right,
or in movies. Hyper civilization means, first of all, we cannot understand them. There is a famous so-called Fermi paradox. Fermi in 1950 asked, I think it must be some very old civilizations around us in the universe. They should be here. Where are they? And we can, with the hyper civilizations, we can answer, maybe they are here, but we cannot recognize them because we are thinking about landing on White House lawn or
right,
which is absolutely unrealistic. So we think about equal rights, exchange of ideas, intervention or invasion, military war, and maybe we are more clever than they are, or we are thinking about aid or some other kinds of relation. Nothing of this is realistic. And I explain in that book also why I think so. So the difference is like between us and an anthill, between a hyper-civilization and us, is like between us and an anthill. They can come here, they can make experiments with us without asking the permission. If we examine an anthill, a new one, something very interesting, something
right.
A new species of ants. What we are doing, we make a fence around, nobody to enter, only the people appointed to make experiments. Maybe we'll pick an ant, maybe we pick several ants and breeding them for seeing if we can have a more evolved ant, sending them back and maybe some and sending them back maybe with a small chip. This is science fiction a bit.
Right. No, I follow you, but I get where you're going. These are the possibilities.
And I stay away and only see what the this robot chip see in the anthill and so on. But I added also, if there are hyper-civilization, they will not treat us as we can treat ants, because humans are a future hyper-civilization. So they are waiting us to maturize, and I think this will take many, many centuries until we will have the maturity to face them in a direct official encounter. But until this moment, they allow us to kill each together and to solve our problems only on our way. Why this? This is a speculation, of course. It's exactly why, if we discover a remote tribe in the jungle, we don't give everything the civilization has, because we will destroy them as...
Right, it's like the prime directive from Star Trek.
Yes, yes.
Right. I understand completely. Dan, this has been fascinating.
So they are treating us like this. And if you have the Prometheus, who was punished because he helped the humans.
Right, Prometheus, yeah.
But in the book of Enoch, you have also some extraterrestrials, or I don't know what, punished because they helped humans, and punished very hardly. Or maybe the book, the tree of knowledge in the Bible. The knowledge is forbidden. Why? because the humility has to develop his own vision. This is my guess.
It's as good a guess as any, yeah.
And the hyper-civilizations are waiting for a mature vision to make a big contact. Also, we have some hints that if hyper-civilizations exist, they are spiritual, not material.
Right, that makes sense as well.
In a spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in other dimensions. Why not?
No. And I know you cover so much of this in the book,
yes.
And you've done a great job of hitting some of the highlights for us. UFOs over Romania, will have a link up on our site for that so that you can find it. And again, visit darknessradio.com, click on the Killer Deals link. It'll open up our Amazon storefront, and you'll see the book listed there along with other books and other items that you can order directly. I want to thank you very much, Daniel, for being here with us this evening and sharing your insights and knowledge on this.
Yes, it was a great pleasure for me. Only to say you a last sentence.
Please.
I think our mind cannot distinguish between hyper-civilization and what we name holy and sacred. So it's also a conclusion on what I investigated here.
All right. Well, check the book out for yourself. You can get more information that way. And we have a huge, huge announcement to make. When we get the attention of our army of darkness, Darkness Radio and Beyond the Darkness hits the high seas in October of 2018, and we want you to join in all the fun. This trip, it has it all. Paranormal hijinks with Darkness Radio, Beyond the Darkness is Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis. There will be some rock and some roll. Fozzie, the band, will be on hand. Many other bands aboard. Comedian Jim Brewer and the Loud and Rowdy. Then we've got wrestling legends Chris Jericho, Diamond Dallas Page, Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Conan, Raven, Lance Storm, Hurricane Helms, and many, many more. The tickets are on sale right now for Chris Jericho's first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager. They're officially on sale, and man, is it a great lineup. You can find more information about the Chris Jericho Cruise at chrisjerichocruise.com. That's chrisjerichocruise.com. Or check out darknessevents.com, where you can go see all the information, all the trips, all the stuff that we're going to be a part of. That's it for tonight. Be kind, be loving, and we will be back tomorrow when we turn our sights down under to Australia. Mary Rodwell, our guest, as we continue our view to the skies and our looks at UFOs from different beliefs and cultures from around the world here on Beyond the Darkness.